O God, our Father, we come to you this morning in the name of thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, if you ask anything of my Father in my name, he will give it you. We ask this morning, O God, that some lost sinner in our company today might hear your eternal word, see the folly of their sin, understand that salvation has been provided, and that they might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. We pray also, O God, that anything of the world, the flesh, or the devil might be barred from entering into this place, barred from entering into our consciousness, that only your voice might be heard. We pray that it'll result in the salvation of precious souls, for whom your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is extremely worthy. We give you thanks in his precious name. Amen. You could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. And while you're doing that, I am going to read just a couple of verses in John chapter 5, spoken by the Lord Jesus. In John 5 and 24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And one final reading in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons or the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, this is the fifth time that we've spoken here in the Gospel of John, and we have been looking at the five missing things in the Gospel of John. Five miracles or signs that are peculiar to the Gospel of John. They are not found in any of the other Gospel accounts. They are only found in John's Gospel. And John writes in his Gospel, chapter 20, in verse 31, that these are written, there's a purpose for these things being written, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's the purpose. We have been noticing in our studies that there is a progression of condition in each one. That things go from bad to worse. In chapter 2, at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, there was an absence of joy. No joy. No joy. Why? Because the wine ran out. What do you do in your life when the wine runs out? You're left with nothing if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord. You're left with no joy. Because he is the center of joy. He has promised to give unto all those that put their faith and trust in him, not just joy, but abounding joy in himself. Do you have that kind of joy this morning? Are you here this morning without the Savior? Then you don't have that kind of joy. You have joy that is fleeting. It's here for a time, but then it's gone. The next hardship, the next problem, the next illness, no matter what it is, it wipes it all away because it's fleeting. But joy in the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ brings is everlasting and ever growing. It is abounding joy. In chapter 4, we read of that nobleman whose son was ill and needed to be recovered. And he came to the Lord and he said, Lord, you need to come home with me. You need to raise my son out of this sickness. And the Lord chastised him. Why? Because this man thought the Lord had to be in close proximity to his son in order for him to be healed. And the Lord told him, go your way, your son lives. And we must give the man credit. He obeyed. He left. He went. And on his way, he met his servants. And his servants said, thy son liveth. And he inquired, when did that happen? And they told him, and he said, it was the same hour that the Lord Jesus said to me, thy son liveth. That man who had no faith had greater faith. Have you lost faith? Are you here this morning without the Lord Jesus? And have you lost faith in everything around you? I mean, we look at the news every day and it's nothing but, it's not fake news anymore. It's bad news. It's depressing news. You get weary of it. And you can understand how the millennials of our day are losing faith in everything around them. That is a ploy from the very pit, beloved. And if you are here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, I am here to tell you that there is only one that you can put your faith in that you will never, ever be disappointed in. the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then in chapter 5, we read of that man that was impotent, that man who was lame on both his feet, waiting for the angel to come down into the pool and to stir up the water so that he could step in and get his miracle. And unfortunately, he was lame on both his feet. So he needed help. And he said to the Lord, I have no man. I have no help. No one can get me down in the water fast enough before another steps in and they get the miracle. The Lord Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And he did. The only help he ever needed was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we are a needy people. We need help no matter where you turn. You want to buy a house, you need help. I don't know anybody that's got hundreds of thousands of dollars stored away in the bank and just buy a house with cash. You need help of a bank, don't you? A lot of people getting sick. Need to go to a doctor. And he'll help you out. But you know what? There's no one that can help you get into heaven but the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Savior and your Lord and you've never, ever done business with him, you need to listen to his words. He says this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That word strive in the original means to do business with God. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you this morning to turn in repentance to him, to accept the offer of his free gift of salvation and to claim it as your own. Why will ye die? Why will ye perish in your sins? It's not necessary. He has provided a way. He is the only one that can help you into heaven. And then in chapter 9, we read of that man that was born blind. And the Lord Jesus, remember, he spat on clay and he anointed his eyes. And he told him to go wash in the pool. And he did. And he came seeing for the first time in his life. He was able to see other people, forms. He was able to see light and darkness. He was able to see color. Must have been a tremendous overload, sensory overload for that man that day. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible tells me that you are blind, having been blinded by the God of this world, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto you, so that you might be converted. At the beginning, we prayed about those three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And all three of those work in opposition to us actually seeing what's real. In fact, we have created in life an industry out of what's not real. It's called the entertainment industry, right? You know, you go to Universal Studios or Warner Brothers or whatever, and you go on a movie set, and what you find out is it's a piece of 2x4 and a plywood that's painted and it looks nice on the front, but you go behind and there's no substance to it whatsoever. What could explain that industry better than that? No substance to it. And God's Word wants your eyes to be open to see the fallacy of thinking that you can work your way to heaven. That you can get there on your own merits. That you don't need anything but yourself. That as Voltaire said so flippantly, I am the master of my own fate. It may not have been him. I may have gotten that wrong. Okay? I'm the captain of my own destiny. No, you're not. Well, in a sense you are, but not really. The Lord decides your fate. And you decide your fate by whether you accept him as Lord and Savior or you reject him. And if you reject him, that's on you. no joy, no faith, no help, no sight. And this morning in John chapter 11, what do we have? No life. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I have the authority of the Word of God behind me to tell you this important thing you need to hear. You are dead in trespasses and sins. We read that from Ephesians chapter 2. We read it in the past tense. You once were. But there are some amongst us here this morning that have never, ever bent their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and owned Him as their Savior and Lord. Never repented of their sin. Never accepted God's gift of grace, of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible clearly states you're dead. You just don't know it yet. No life. You know, I was thinking about this subject the other day, and I couldn't help but recall, you know, I've been to quite a number of weddings in my lifetime. I've been to quite a number of funerals in my lifetime. And I got to tell you, I have learned more from funerals than I ever did from a wedding. But don't get me wrong, I learned an awful lot from my own wedding. But I learned a tremendous more about myself and about the Lord at funerals. Do you know that the Lord Jesus, while He was here on earth during His earthly ministry, that nobody ever died in His presence? Did you know that? Did you know that every funeral procession that the Lord Jesus came across in His earthly ministry, He interrupted it? He interrupted it by raising them back to health and strength and life. Do you know that every wake that the Lord Jesus ever attended, He turned it from sorrow into joy by raising the person from the dead? He wants to do that this morning for somebody in this group. Somebody who wants to hear. Somebody who is tired of not having joy or faith, or sight, or help, or life, and wants the Lord Jesus Christ to be all those things to them. Oh, we pray, if you are here this morning and you're in that condition, that you will trust Christ before it is forever too late. Several years ago, Jenny and I were able to go to Boston, Massachusetts for something for work. And while we were there, we had the opportunity of doing some sightseeing. We had never been there before. And, you know, it's that revolutionary kind of town and something that we had always read about in history books and never got to see with our own eyes. Well, that day we got to see it. We got to see the cobblestone streets. We got to see the North Church from whence the lights hung that Paul Revere started his ride. Remember that? If you're an American, you should remember that. I don't know if they teach that in school anymore, but anyway. But one of the things I wanted to do going to Boston, I did some research before I left, was I wanted to find this graveyard where I had heard there was a headstone that had a poem inscribed on it. And we made our way just north of North Church, just a few blocks, to Copse Hill Burying Ground. And the tombstones in that graveyard are beyond old, okay? They're back from the 1700s for sure. You can notice, it was pointed out to us that a lot of the headstones have corners broken off. And they said that that happened when the British were occupying Boston. They used the headstones as target practice. And I guess they weren't very good shots because they would hit the corners off, unless that's what they were aiming at. But anyway, I digress. It was in that graveyard that and it took a while to find, but I found the tombstone that had these words inscribed on it. Remember me as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon must be. Prepare for death and follow me. And I think that was some kind of Puritan saying. It's not just on that tombstone. It's on a lot of tombstones during that era. But as I understand it, it has been recorded that on one of these tombstones that bore that inscription, Someone scrawled the words next to it, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." It is the one statistic in life that we cannot escape. One of us in this room is going to be the next one of us to die. We will leave this place. And if you're here this morning and it's you and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be like the rich man in Luke 16 who lifted up his eyes in torment. It doesn't have to be that way. This morning, the message is not supposed to send you away with a smile. It's not meant to give you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, but it's supposed to burden your heart with the word of the Lord, that you are dead in sin and you need resurrection power like we were hearing at the last hour in order to rise from the dead. With that in mind, I'd like to look in chapter 11 at Lazarus's condition. His condition is progressing as well. And maybe one of these types of conditions that we read of Lazarus being in this morning describes you to a T. I hope not, unless it's the latter condition, and that is alive. Verse 3 is the first one. "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Lazarus is sick. Since first came into this world through Adam and Eve, there are a number of sicknesses and illnesses, many of which are communicable. That is, that they can be passed on from one person to the next person. The flu, the common cold, what's becoming more prevalent today, measles. There's a lot of different ones out there, and they're contagious, and they can be passed on from one to the other. But you know, the Bible tells me that there is a disease that is passed on to others through the blood, from which there is no medical remedy. This disease cannot be treated by the medical community as much as they would like to. And eventually, this disease, this condition, ends in death. The Bible says that by one man, this disease entered into the world, and death by this disease. And so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have been infected with this disease. And the Bible calls this disease sin. And we all have it. And we're all going to perish from it. Not just physically, but spiritually. Apart from the salvation offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thankfully, as I look out on this group, I can see the faces of many people that have trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. And I don't pretend to know everybody's heart here this morning. But I have to believe that if the Lord has burdened this word to be spoken, there must be somebody here that doesn't know him as their Lord and Savior. And there must be somebody here that he desperately wants to save. And if that's you, please listen. Please turn from your sin. Please accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't need to be sick anymore. I've had a runny nose. I don't know if it's from allergies or a cold or what, but I think I've had it for months now. And I'm tired of being sick. And my family is tired of hearing me say I'm sick and tired. It's draining to be sick. And if you're here this morning and you haven't had your sin taken care of by the Lord Jesus, aren't you tired of being sick? Wouldn't you like to be whole again? I'd like to not have stuff draining from me into a handkerchief every 5 minutes. Trust Christ as your Savior. Then in verse 11, we read, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And we're told that the disciples misunderstood what the Lord Jesus meant here. But I'd like to talk about sleeping in its natural sense for just a moment. You know, there are two kinds of sleepers. There are light sleepers, that is, any disturbance, and they wake up. They hear it. They know it. They're alert. And there are heavy sleepers that a bomb could go off in their room and they would never, ever know anything occurred, right? Although sleeping can be good for the body, there are times in our life when sleeping is not good. When we speak of those that are not in Christ, those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are sleeping, that is not a good condition to be in. In fact, the apostle says in his epistle, arise thou that sleepeth, and awake from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In the scriptures, there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, right? And it says they slept. And the 5 that were foolish hadn't prepared for the bridegroom. And as a result, they were left outside the marriage. They were left outside where the Bible says is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And the pronouncement from the bridegroom is, I never knew you. It is possible for you to be here this morning and asleep to the Word of God. You can come week after week. You could sing the songs of the redeemed. You could quote Scripture eloquently. And yet, you could be asleep to the voice of God. You could be asleep to His Word, calling, O sinner, come home. That is not a good position for you to be in, for you are asleep to the danger that is around you. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands in sleep. We all just crave it sometimes, don't we? Just that ability to just close our eyes, shut everything out, and go to sleep and get the rest we so desperately crave. But for the wicked, they are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. You want soul sleep, there's only one place to find it. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, who giveth His beloved sleep. Verse 14 we read, Lazarus is dead. We've gone from sick to sleeping, to dead. It gets worse. David in 1 Samuel 20 says, there is but a step between me and death. It's just a fine line. And once we cross it, it's over. Hospitals are filled with people that are stepping into eternity. Homes are filled with people that are stepping into eternity. Nursing homes are filled with people that are stepping into eternity. Highways are filled with people that are stepping into eternity. This world is filled with people that are stepping over that line into eternity. The psalmist says, "My days are as a handbreadth," just that wide. "Our days are as a tale that is told. They are like a shadow that declines at the end of the day." And James says in chapter 4 and verse 14, "What is your life? It is even a vapor, a puff of smoke that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." You are not promised a tomorrow. You are only promised a today. And while it is today, hearken to His voice. Not like those in the wilderness who would not listen to the Lord, but hearken to His pleas, to His cries, for you to trust Him, for you to accept Him, for you to take that salvation that has been freely given for you. Lazarus is dead. And then in verse 39, Martha says, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days." Lazarus is corrupting. As far as the human condition was concerned, Lazarus was in an unstoppable condition of decay. He had laid in that tomb for 4 days. A testament to the fact that he wasn't just sleeping, he hadn't just fainted, he hadn't swooned, he wasn't just shallow breathing, waiting for somebody to give him the kiss of life. He was, in fact, dead. And one whiff at the open tomb confirmed it. The stench of corruption. The Apostle Paul that we read from this morning in 1 Corinthians 15 says that it is not possible for flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. What that means is that a change has to take place in us, to us, in order for us to receive that life. And it's a change that we can't bring about on our own. It's a change that the medical community can't do for us, although I'm sure that somebody somewhere is trying to make it so people can live forever. Who knows? Probably some tax dollars funding it somewhere. But it's impossible. It's only from the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, for Lazarus to come forth, and he came forth in fullness of life. Would you like to be that this morning? One hand to be dead in trespasses and sin, the next moment to be fully alive. Fully alive to yourself, fully alive in this world, fully alive to Christ. There's nothing like it in the world. I want to notice two things about the Lord in this chapter, and it's mentioned by several different people. First one is that he loved Lazarus. It says in verse 3, the women said, he whom thou lovest is sick. They knew that the Lord Jesus loved Lazarus. In verse 5, we read that the Spirit of God through John knew it, for he wrote, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So there's two people. And if that wasn't enough, the third is found in verse 36, when the Jews that behold the Lord Jesus weeping at Lazarus' tomb said, behold how he loved him. Listen to me. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be able to escape this fact. He loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to go to Calvary's cross. He was willing there to allow your sin to be placed on him. He was willing to allow himself to be made sin, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was willing to lay down his life in death. He was willing to be buried. He was willing to rise again in the power of an endless life that he might be able to bestow on all those that put their faith and trust in him. The promises that he has made in his word, he is willing to keep. That when he says, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life, you can be assured that just by simple faith this morning, you have eternal life. He loves you. In Romans chapter 5, we read this. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. We read that he was groaning in the spirit and troubled, that he wept, that he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And it has been well said that if he hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody would have came out of that tomb that was buried there. But the loud voice of the Lord Jesus is mentioned on three occasions in the scriptures, three different places. First, in John chapter 11 at the cave, when he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The next time he cried out with a loud voice was at the cross on two occasions. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As his holy soul was made an offering for sin. He cried out again. When the darkness, those 3 hours of darkness had passed, he cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. Everything that was necessary to secure salvation for you was done at his cross. And we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, at his coming, he is going to cry out with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ, those spoken of in John chapter 5, dead will hear his voice and will be raised up out of the grave to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord, those that know him as Savior and Lord. Is that you this morning? Are you one of the redeemed? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, do not leave this place this morning Do not get in your car to travel home until you have done business with the Lord Jesus. Until you have done business, that you have recognized your sin, your need of a Savior, and have trusted Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Perhaps we could sing just one verse of number 364, and then we'll just have a short prayer. 364, excuse me, that's the wrong one, I think. Huh? Okay. 364, we're going to sing just verse 3 only. Just verse 3 of 364.
Choose now, just now, there's a soul at stake. Oh, what will your answer be? 'Tis life or death, and the choice you make is made for eternity. Choose now, just now, for the Lord is here, and angels your answer wait. Choose now, just now, and the call is clear. Tomorrow may be too late.
Father, we pray that if there is any soul in this audience this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they will not wait another minute before accepting Him as their Lord and Savior, confessing their sin, repenting of their sin, turning to Him, recognizing He is the only way, and trusting Him, asking Him to come into their heart and life. Oh God, we pray that someone might get saved who needs to be saved this morning. We pray, those of us who know Thee and love Thee, Lord Jesus, we pray that You might not give any peace or rest to anybody in our audience today that does not know You as Lord and Savior until they find Thee and accept Thee as their own. We give Thee thanks for Your word and pray that the Spirit might take it and apply it to our hearts and our minds and impress on us the importance of it. We give Thee thanks in the Savior's name. Amen.